And Wednesday, sunny, a high near 63. Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low around 43. And Thursday, sunny, with a high near 66. Thursday night, mostly clear, and a low around 43. The Monterey Bay boaters forecast for tonight. Northwest winds 10 to 20 knots, becoming east 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 3 feet, becoming 2 feet or less. In a west swell, 3 to 4 feet at 13 seconds. Quick look at the traffic out there. Traffic collision, Soquel Drive and State Park Drive in the Santa Cruz area. Then a traffic collision, US 101 North at Market Street in the Monterey area. And it is about 49 degrees here at KSCO. Up next, Off the Lip Radio Show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Good evening, and welcome to Off the Lip, the show about surfing and skateboarding. If you'd like to join the show tonight, give us a call at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, here are your hosts for tonight's program, Neil Perlberg and Terry Campion.
Good evening and welcome to the Off the Lip Radio Show. Merry Christmas. Is this Christmas? Is this the first live show since Christmas on KSCO? I think it is.
The last show was live.
Which last show?
Wasn't Dave Michaels in there
no.
on the show? Oh, he
no,
wasn't?
No one here came in here. There's no one in the parking lot.
You know, I drove by earlier, and it was blacked out here.
No one here.
No lights on or nothing.
What did you, Chris, say we are? Chris, we're I'm always here, right? I show up, right? What'd you say? Dependable. Whatever.
I'm impressed.
I said you're ambitious.
Ambitious.
He's what?
Why are we having a show? You know why we have a show? Because... Tonight, TC,
yeah.
we're supposed to have the Beggar Kings supposed to be here, right?
I was because ready for the Beggar Kings.
Right. They have a big show coming up on the 31st, and like they're supposed to be here. But they texted me, Neil, we're all sick.
I had a bunch of groupies coming tonight.
When?
Tonight, for the Beggar Kings.
Did you tell them they're still coming?
I had seven chicks lined up.
That's right, he did.
I did.
But did you tell them that they couldn't come? And
no.
then there's the most expensive substitute guest in the world.
Here's what happened.
What?
I told them that the Beggar Kings were canceled and that Richard Novak was going to come here. And they all went home.
Well, we'll see if they show up or not.
They may still come.
There's no way. I got Dallas. I got, what do you got on? Think they're going to show up? I got Dallas says they don't show up.
Oh, we put some zeros on.
You need to mic. You need to mic Rich up a little bit.
I do.
Yeah, he's a little.
We might have to add zeros to that.
There we go.
No, you can add zeros to it. They are not.
Hey, wait. This is Terry's story, not mine.
TC, give me the story. TC.
What happened? Okay, see, what happened was, we had a plethora of beautiful women lined up for the Beggar Kings.
Like seven or something.
Yeah, yeah, right,
the
Beggar
Kings.
Yeah. Whole right. bunch. It was a dance party.
That's more than we had for Noma Laka Dojo.
I know.
They were hot.
I put the effort in to make it happen.
Right.
And when Beggar Kings decided to back out because of, they're stoned or something. I don't know. But
no, they're sick.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
And then you mentioned the word Rich Novak.
Well, one of the chicks is his girlfriend. So she's like, oh,
sure.
No Beggar Kings.
Sure.
So they're gone. They're home.
Sure, he went home.
Yeah.
They were all totally in the. They were going to leave me home for the Beggar Kings.
I don't blame them either.
I don't either. I think that's probably a good move.
This show is brought to you by Toyota Santa Cruz. And I got to say hi to Julie from Toyota Santa Cruz. Thank you for supporting the show since day one.
I hooked up Julie with Christmas presents this year.
What'd you do?
She came into the store and went shopping. I just gifted her a bunch of really cool
some Christmas ornaments with Santa Cruz skateboards.
Yeah,
Santa Cruz stuff on.
You know, every year, and Richard would love to hear this. Every year, Julie comes to the store and she buys Richard's products and gifts them to her friends and family.
Yeah,
and she's done it for years.
Yeah,
yeah.
So thanks, Julie.
Yeah, Julie's awesome.
So we send her a lot of business.
I know you guys do.
I bought three cars from her last year.
You need to buy more.
If she'd get a Mercedes dealership, then we'd be in really in the money.
That's a good point.
Julie,
get that Mercedes dealership.
In Santa Cruz.
We need one.
Badly.
Mm-hmm. You Richard know? Has a collection of those things.
Okay. So tonight, the most expensive substitute guest in the world, Mr. Rich Novak, is here in the East, because you know how he is.
Yeah.
You have to have something here to, you know, set the hook. To
get
I
don't
him in
move
here.
Cheaply.
I know. So it costs us a lot of money.
Big money.
It costs us huge money to get our guest in here tonight, because we're like, after the Beggar Kings canceled around 10 o'clock this morning, I'm like, oh, smoke.
Well, first off, I didn't hear about this till about 3 o'clock.
Was it 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Was that late?
Yeah.
And we got no guests.
No guests tonight. It might just be us. I'm like, well, let's text Rich and see what he's doing.
Well, I didn't hear about it until...
He woke me up
from my nap.
Oh, well, you went...
I was in the bathroom napping.
I woke him up.
He totally woke me up.
When he hit an elbow and we were on.
It's a funny bone?
Yep.
He goes, I'm in.
Then he bribed my girlfriend.
How do you do that?
I don't know, but she said I have to do it.
All right.
I had my this wife. Like my wife did that part.
This is
of
like
it.
His eighth appearance on the off. He's the most storied guest.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Do we have any? Who would be our second?
Oh,
it's a good question.
Doug Howe.
Maybe Doug. Yeah. Yeah, we've
he's
had.
He's always been here in you know as the as
talker. Yeah,
that's
all. He's got a forgetful memory.
Mm.
Does he have any memory left?
Well, when he wants to, it's selective memory.
Yeah.
But he denies too much. I mean, he.
Well, he can never talk about anything either.
Well, he's got three here.
Yeah, well, and there's his wife.
So
yeah,
here we go. This show is dedicated to surfing and skateboarding. And Rich has had something to do with skateboarding in his life. And skateboarding's in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You want
to well, not
that
yet,
then?
But soon to be.
Whoa. It is or it isn't?
It's officially an Olympic sport.
Yeah. Or 2020?
Yeah. Skate park and street. Two medals will be given away, for men and women.
So they're moving now to the younger generation. They're trying to, you know, right?
Yeah,
well, the Olympic Committee is like, we better come up with something that the younger generation is going to be looking at. Or
I think they're just trying to add, like they do, they add a couple sports in each country just to add those sports. And so in 96, they chose snowboarding.
Can anybody let us know, where is the 2020 Olympics going to be held at?
I have no idea. I know politically with skateboarding, because I work at a skateboard shop, a lot of skateboarders don't see the Olympics as being good for skateboarding. And it's been a topic of discussion we talk about a lot around the store and the industry itself. And we talked a little bit, Richard, early about it. Was it good for snowboarding?
No, it kind of wiped a lot of the creativity out of snowboarding. It took it from more of a smaller industry to a large ski company industry. And then the prices fell out of the bottom. And then this is just my feelings. And then they focused all the snowboarders into a small part of the park. They kept them off the mountain. And I think they just compressed them, and then they came out with the wider skis and the shorter keys. And that was it.
I got a trivia question for you, Rich.
I can't answer. I don't even.
You can. Trivia question for UNTC. The 2020 Olympics are being held in.
I know.
No. You do?
South Korea.
Let me give you the three possible answers.
Okay.
Istanbul, Madrid, or Tokyo?
Oh,
Madrid.
I thought it was South Korea.
No, that's for the Winter Olympics.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Madrid or Tokyo?
I'm going to say Tokyo.
Bingo.
Whoa.
He owes you $5.
All right.
Well, I didn't bet him.
You said Madrid. It's very rarely that I can get one over on Novak.
You can see how I follow it.
2020 Olympics are going to be in Tokyo.
Well, it's interesting to hear Rich's take on snowboarding, because I think... this is something few people know about Richard. He's, at one point, the largest snowboard manufacturer in the history of snowboarding.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and which is, I think,
it's a secret.
Well, apparently not anymore.
Well,
it's a big coup for the Off the Lip radio show.
Anyone who snowboards knows Santa Cruz Snowboards made snowboards, of course. And you were involved in DNR.
Yeah, DNR was the licensing master manufacturing company out of Switzerland. And... Tom Sims, we were going to do snowboards, and then we got Sims and Santa Cruz. And each one of those brands is a story upon itself of how it came about.
Give us the best story.
Well, I can give you the story. It's going to take
a minute. Stories. There's a lot of stories you come on the show and you can't, 90% of stories you can't tell.
Well, that's because there's other things. No, and the snowboard thing is I was in ISPO in Munich in the early 90s, and one of my vendors over there and this Italian-Swiss guy came up, and they wanted to talk to me about licensing for snowboards. And I was drinking, and I said, I don't deal with that when I'm drinking, so if you want to come to Santa Cruz. So they came to Santa Cruz, and the three of us formed a company called DNR based in Zurich, Switzerland. It was to make Santa Cruz snowboards. At the same time, Tom Sims was working with Vision, and he was pretty much broke. And he came through, probably went to Powell, and he came to me and asked about it. And as we're setting up this company, I called up Lucio, was my partner, and I said, look at it. I go, in snowboarding, Sims has a much stronger name than Santa Cruz. So if we can license to do Sims boards, and I'll take a back seat to him, mm-hmm. because this will push the door open and we can follow through with it. And I said, let's do that. And that way we can get this thing up and running really quickly. And so that's the way we did it, and that's how we marketed. And they both became really strong brands. Plus, we started working with other Japanese firms and European firms and producing their snowboards. So we were up in the mid-250s, 250,000 units.
Right. A year. 250,000 snowboards a year.
Somewhere between 220 and 250.
Was that? Can you say that's one of your biggest accomplishments in business?
No. It's just, it was a teamwork. It was Lucio, he did the image consultant for Lamborghini. He did a lot of the retail stores for Armani and Boss and Zeruti. He had a Michelin-starred restaurant in Zurich. And so I found when I started partnering up with him, I tried to find out what his good and bad points were. And his deal was is he could do anything for about 7 or 8 years. He'd put 150% into it. Then he'd just fall apart.
Right.
So we put a schedule on this deal, and he did almost all the work.
Right.
I just kept the branding up, the names up, the trademarks, all that stuff up to feed him.
Are you still involved in snowboarding at all?
Yeah, we license it out to a guy in Austria.
Yeah.
It's the Olympics came on in 96, and we had a kid, John Simmons. He was about 18, and there was 32 kids, I think, in the Olympics, and he was rated last. And so we engineered a board that would work in that type of snow with wax.
Right.
And he ended up winning a gold medal
So the equipment made that big a difference.
The equipment and the waxing made all that difference for him to perform.
Well, he got really lucky in that Olympics because it was in Nagano, Japan.
Right.
And
like California snow.
And they had a bad snow year that year. It was very warm, and because he was the last seed, he got the first run, and it was an icy pipe in the morning.
Yeah.
And he had a board that gripped ice. Now, it was the one thing that Santa Cruz had during that time.
Right.
They had boards that gripped, edge grip. Anyone skiing who knows edge knows how that works.
Right.
And so he was able to go really fast, having grip on the icy. As the day went on, it got really warm. The pipe melted and got slow. So the timing of his event on that day, plus he was a really good young snowboarder at the time. He didn't win. You don't win gold medals. There's luck involved too, but he won the gold medal based on his ability and the timing of his run.
And the equipment.
Yeah, and it was great because what Richard said about Lucio, because I was the snowboard rep during that time for Santa Cruz, Lucio was a quality guy.
Yeah.
The brands that Richard just described are all high-end quality stuff, and the boards really were built with fantastic materials.
A lot of engineering.
Yeah, they were the best boards. And whereas a lot of the other guys were trying to cut corners and have money for marketing, and that's what you do. Either the quality sacrifices to market those brands.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Neil and TC here with our most story guest. He's probably been on more authentic radio shows than anybody I know. Do you think, TC?
A whole bunch. And there's a lot more stories.
You know what day is today?
It's the day after Christmas.
What day is it called?
The Tuesday. Thank God it's over day.
Today is Boxing Day, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Off-Lit Radio Show here on Boxing Day on Tuesday, December 26th. We'll be right back up this very short
breakdown.
That's
an English day.
Exactly right.
We're not
old it.
What?
I'm having the... What we have to... Oh,
it's Boxing Day for
Boston
crying out
Tea
now.
Party's coming up.
Right, yeah.
This is Numa and Isaac from Aloha Island Grill. Well, summer's right around the corner here in Santa Cruz, and that means one thing. It's time to come get your grind on at the Aloha Island Grill.
Come over to Aloha Island Grill and eat some food.
We're located on the corner of Portola and 17th Avenue, and we've got a beautiful lanai for you to come sit out on. We've got a fine assortment of plate lunch, fresh ahi poke, and other wonderful treats for you to enjoy.
My favorite food at Aloha Island Grill is Kalua Pig.
We've got ice-cold beer and wine for those hot summer days, and try some of our homemade POG, passion orange guava juice. It's delicious. For to-go orders, give us a call at 479-3299. Find us on the web at AlohaIslandGrill.com or come on down to 1700 Portola Drive. Aloha Island Grill is a proud member of Think Local First.
A&B Insurance has been serving the Santa Cruz community for over 85 years. Manufacturing, wholesale, retail, restaurants, not-for-profits. If you can think of an iconic Santa Cruz company, we've probably worked with them, and we'd love to work with you. Give us a call at 831-423-4304. Check us out on the web at anbins.com. Or stop by at 931 Mission Street in Santa Cruz. And tell us you heard it on the radio on KSCO.
Fall is here with an awakening ocean. And what you need is something that shows you in an instant exactly what the waves and tides are at your favorite location. A wave clock on your desk or wall shows you what's happening out there right now. We created Wave Clock to bring you the latest digital information in a classic instrumentation format to provide a real-time view of the tides and waves. Whether you or your favorite surfer, sailor, fisherman, or ocean lover needs to know what's happening at the coast, the Wave Clock is perfect. Surprise your friends and loved ones this holiday with a unique piece of functional art. We have a range of designs developed with other Santa Cruz artisans, sourced from local woods using local artwork. Each one utilizes state-of-the-art technology to bring you the ocean at a glance. Sign up for our newsletter at www.thewaveclock.com to get an exclusive KSCO discount for the holidays, and download the free app on iTunes or the Google Play Store. Find the perfect gift for your favorite ocean fan or yourself, and begin to see the ocean in a new way.
And we're back with the Off the Lip Radio Show. TC, are we on Facebook Live tonight?
Yes, we are. You are live and looking beautiful right now.
Facebook Live
with Santa Cruz Waves.
Go, Matt. Tell Seascape golf shirt on.
You win that?
No, I lost. I lost 12, 13. I lost 25 bucks tonight.
I talked to somebody who says they see you there every day.
No, I'm not every. Most days. I lie. You know what? I used to play surfing a lot more. Now I went back to golf.
Well, you were the amateur champion here in Santa Cruz, right?
That was a long time ago. Those guys bring that up all the time. That was a long time ago.
Are you trying to make a comeback? What's going on?
No.
He's going for the senior championship.
I'm trying to win money from those lying, cheating bastards I play golf
with. So this is a get-rich scheme, $12 a day.
Bingo. I throw the money out there.
$12
sometimes
a day.
Sometimes I win and sometimes I don't.
Hey, well.
It's a skins game, man. You gotta take
chances. Bragging rights, huh? Do they hate you yet?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I hate them too, but they're good people.
All for 12 bucks.
Rich, what'd you get for Christmas? Our guest tonight is, by the way, a substitute guest. Can we label him substitute guest?
Yeah, sure.
I've just dragged out of bed. I mean, give me a break.
Substitute guest. Mr. Rich Novak. What'd you get for Christmas? What's Santa bring you?
A very, very good backgammon board.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I challenge you to a game?
I don't even know how to play.
Oh, God. Then I will challenge you to a game. I put my $12 back. My $12 is coming off the golf course and coming to your house.
I actually stopped by Richard's house on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Yeah, I think the best gift you had was your whole family was there, you know?
It was pretty cool.
That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. His mom, who's 98 years old, was there.
Who I'm trying to get on the show, by the way.
Yeah, she's hilarious. And
she's moving pretty fast right now. She's got her walker.
Is she bouncing off the walls?
Glass of wine last night. She did a pretty good job.
Atta girl.
Yeah.
Atta girl. So where were we? You talking about the Olympics and skateboarding?
Well, we were finishing up with the snowboard thing.
And
my question to Rich was, how did the Olympics really affect snowboarding?
Well, I think things like skating, snowboarding, et cetera, are kind of... they're small industries. They're small action sports industries. And if you keep them within a certain retainer, a lot of people can make a fairly decent living at it, but not a huge amount of people. And I think when they brought snowboarding to the Olympics, is what it did is it kind of introduced it to the world. And at that point, the ski companies dived straight into it. So kind of an example is when snowboarding was, this is right before the Olympics, parabolic skis were starting to come into play.
Right.
So I said, let me, to Bokel, I was making snowboards with him. I said, let me do the parabolic skis under a snowboard brand. So if they fail, it won't wear off on you. And I can use it as a marketing tool of how advanced we are in breaking into the ski right. industry. Well, of course, you know where that went to. And they cut me off the next year because they saw that it was going to be a success. And then the writing's on the wall when you see that is they're going to go into snowboarding and they're going to take it over. And then the other guys are going to go into it. And so then you have these big companies, except Burton was a standalone, but he followed their rules. And then you just have very few smaller companies that, you know, you right. go from 200,000 or 100,000 boards a year to 5 or 10,000, and that's a lot of boards.
Right.
The distribution changed.
Yeah, the ski companies had the distribution.
Right, right. They went to big fives.
Right.
They went to the sporting goods stores.
Right.
Historically,
Costco.
Historically, you bought a snowboard at like a skateboard right. shop or a surf shop.
Well, they're not around anymore. Ski shop, Santa Cruz, for example. You know,
right. Well, because you want to know why? Because now you go to big five and right. you buy a piece of crap that doesn't endorse an athlete. It endorses nothing. And then you lose the heroes.
Right.
Because a lot of it is based on heroes. And that's what gets kids stoked on it.
I think right. also they've
But
taken,
that goes back to baseball and baseball cards. And well, that goes way back.
Yeah, with snowboarding and skiing is I think what happened is that in, say, from the 60s on when the baby boomers started doing it, you could buy really good equipment, and the cost of actually participating was really cheap.
Right.
It was $10 lift tickets, $8 lift tickets.
Right. Now it's
and as the thing shifted, the cost to go skiing or snowboarding for a weekend of a family of four is $6,000 or $7,000.
Right.
And they can't afford the good equipment, so they cut corners on the equipment
right.
and to be able to participate, and it narrows the marketplace way down.
Right.
You know, if you can have the middle class in there, then you have a massive.
But I'm going to go back to what you said, TC, about heroes, right? Your kids, you employ, how many kids you employ?
30.
Okay, so let's say that's 30 kids. Do the kids have heroes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
Right? They have
absolutely.
Heroes.
I mean, now we're talking skateboarding mainly because
right.
they're skateboard
yeah.
specific.
Right.
But, yeah, it's about their heroes. And they buy the brands. I mean, I'm talking about kids who work behind the counter in a skateboard shop every day.
Right.
They buy the brands of their heroes. They wear the brands of their hero. They promote their heroes. And it's an important part of the sport.
Right.
Now, what scares me about and what happened with snowboarding is these big companies get into it, and it's not as much about the heroes as it's about the buck. And a lot of that
goes beyond skateboarding. That goes to most sports.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if you can keep the business under a certain umbrella or a certain ceiling where
right.
it goes on, there's money for riders, there's money for promotion, there's money for marketing, there's money for contests, there's money for the retailer, there's money for the distributor. It pushes the industry along. It's a self-sustaining industry. If you take a hit, it's not going to be that deep of a hit.
Right.
When you go overboard and you start discounting everything and cutting everything back down, it becomes a mass market. So when the collapse comes, it's a greater fall.
What's Costco? What's happening with Costco, do you think? I mean, Costco became the biggest surfboard manufacturer in the world.
I mean
are they set up for a fall? I mean, see these kids riding those surfboards nowadays. They're not riding the surfboards because of the heroes.
No, I think that there's a huge amount of people that are enticed by the marketing and publicity of
and
surfing
price.
And skating, and more so surfing because you can get to go to the beach and, you know, you get all this other beach boy crap that's out there. And I think that's what drew that market away. And again, this goes back to profit margins. The surfing industry has no margin to work with. The cost of manufacturing a board and the retail price is a really slim margin. So
right.
there's no money to protect their industry.
Right.
And with skateboarding, a majority of the sales of skateboarding is starting to be the same way. So they took an industry that was set up so it could feed everything underneath it and create all this these heroes and stars and, right. and stuff. And then you take the veneer off that thing and 70% of your hard goods are sold by shop boards. You're screwed. Right. The industry's screwed. But you have to deal with it.
Can I speak of a hero?
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask. I don't think we've had you here since the since Jack O'Neill's paddle out. Have we had him here since?
No, I haven't.
I don't think so.
I don't think you've been.
Yeah.
So speaking of heroes,
can I interrupt real quick? I saw you in the paper again.
I know.
Jeez.
I didn't do that.
That photo from the paddle out has gone viral.
I know.
You're like famous now, Neil.
No. My son's in there. I like that because
you
my
look very svelte in that photo.
You probably got money for the article.
Well, he was the only one not wearing a wetsuit.
Exactly. But half an hour before that, we saw a 15-foot shark jump out of the water.
That was a scary.
You and I weren't getting in the water.
We're like, we need a bigger boat. We're not getting in the water.
Right. But speaking of heroes, was he? I know he was. I know Jack was a good friend of yours.
Yeah.
A hero.
I think Jack was just a guy that followed his dreams. I mean, right. I knew him in San Francisco at Kelly's Cove and when he started his first surf shop, and we worked for him down here when he started it down here. Jack was just a really unique guy. He didn't have any money, and so he had to get self-promotion. So he'd do all these things that – and he used all the kids. I mean, he'd come up. We were 17 years old, and he said, hey, you guys want to go to a surf movie at Foothill College? And we go, oh, yeah. And so we'd pile us in the car and we go to there and he says, well, okay, you got to watch the door and you got to do this.
Mm.
So we never got to see the movie, but we got to work it. And he was probably one of the best self-marketers around.
Always a good ringleader.
He was a really good friend. All over the years I quit working for him in 1961 and started Olson, was George Olson. But all through the years, we've stayed friends. He was a very generous guy. He always hooked me up with stuff. Pat's generous. It's just been a good relationship.
Well, and you had like a monthly lunches or something with him?
We go over to his house every once in a while on a Thursday night and have martinis. Their idea of a martini is not a martini.
It's just vodka in a glass.
Vermouth passes by in the closet. But you talked, I was the youngest guy there by about 10, 12 years, and you hear all these guys' stories, and I was a little kid when they grew up, so.
Right.
Weren't you talking once about, wasn't he like the guy sailing the catamarans or something that one time?
No, he brought in P-Cats, and, one year he started, about 2 or 3 years before the Yacht Harbor, he told me that I was, because I sailed a lot of boats, he said, you can teach sailing. And I go, yeah, well, I don't think so. He says, oh, yeah, yeah. So he hooks me up with a couple that wanted to learn how to sail that he sold sailing lessons to. And then he gave me this Flying Dutchman sailboat. So I went to Capitola on an east wind, and I'm going, okay, this isn't looking good. And so I just tacked out past the pier, and then I turned it around and just took a run in and let the people off. And I thought I scared them because I was just hanging on. And that's what he'd do. He'd talk you into doing things like that.
Right. Can I give another word? I'm just going to come up with people, right, TC? Coming up with names. Jason Jesse.
Jason?
I just texted Jason. I said, would you come back on the show? He goes, I'll be home next year. And I go, Rich is on the air with me right now. And he goes, yes, my father.
That's pretty cool.
I like Jason. I've always liked him. He's been a really cool guy.
Yeah.
And when we were on that show together, that was pretty enlightening for me.
Yeah.
You know, you forget that these guys were kids at one time and you were that. You were part of that life.
Well, I feel like you have over the years, you've been really fair. And the people that, you know, everyone, I love that you said it once, that people fire themselves.
Yeah.
You know, but like all these guys, it's very rare what you've done because all the guys, the personalities that you worked with that initially created this amazing Santa Cruz skateboards program, they all come back around, you know? And
well, my theory is that if you're a professional, anything, you've got a short window to deal with. And if you can understand what you're doing or what's going on with you and these products, I love giving these guys huge checks. Because if you give them a huge check, they deserve it. They get part of the action, you know. And most companies, they start making too much money and they get all panicky and cut the kids off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I've never done that. And then we're doing the reissue thing and bringing all these old carps out of the woodwork. And
right, yeah.
Can we talk about Steve Olson? Could you mention he has a new movie coming out?
Yeah. Priest.
Huh?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Something Priest. It's about Destruction Derby. I just saw a short part of a trailer on it. Steve.
Is that a big break for Olsen acting, do you think?
I think him being alive is a good break.
I know. High miles on Olsen?
Oh, he's got a lot of miles. Steve, he started skating for us when he was about 15 or 16, and I've been through his whole life. He's probably one of the best athletes I've ever dealt with, all-around athletes. The guy could do anything, and he'd have to make skateboarding look hard to win contests because it was so easy for him.
Yeah, he wouldn't even. I remember you were on one show. You ever said that he would not even practice.
No, he'd be skating in a small bowl with little kids, and his heat would come up, and he'd just go in there and just he'd shoot a gap, and he'd make it look like he's barely landing it, right? And he had it under total control. It was all he was just in character.
It was all an act.
Yeah, but then the rest of these guys would skate for 1,000 hours trying tricks and stuff,
and all through the years, you guys got along great.
Yeah, you go through ups and downs, you know, but we've stayed friends. I've always liked Steve. And you know, there's a lot of guys that skated for me or snowboarded for me or surfed for me that don't do it anymore, but that doesn't mean they're not your friend. You know, you can't dislike them.
I remember when we had him on the show, I remember calling him, and he was always polite. You know, he was always there when he said, call me at 9 o'clock. I know I'm going to get voicemail, but no, he'd always answer the phone. And I was really excited because we just started out. But he's always F-bombing everything. It was a million F-bombs a minute.
Yeah, but
right?
He did pretty good when he was on.
Yeah, but I told him, I called him at Tuesday morning, like the show was on Tuesday night. I called him Tuesday morning and said, Steve, can you be there, you know, be on the phone at 7 o'clock, we're going to call you. And I said, you cannot swear. But I said, but you have all day to practice.
He still failed, though, right? Didn't he fail?
He blew it.
We were talking about some director of Thrashing or something, and he
F-bombed it.
Oh, yeah, even worse.
No, he's a character there's a lot of characters in your life, you know, guys like Stesic and him and Jason and
Dressel and all these guys. I was telling a friend of mine today, on the golf course, I said, God, this town is amazing. The town's amazing.
Yeah, there's just characters.
A whole band could not be sick. You know, there's a whole show you have being sick. Then you have all these people you can choose from that.
Well, a lot of people don't leave here.
They're just, you know, first person I thought
back.
It was.
Yeah, they come back.
I have to say, the first person I thought it was you. It was.
But, you know, it was a cool life here.
Yeah.
You have to do. I mean, the water's cold, but
that's okay.
It keeps the crowd down.
Speaking of
cold. You
know,
Jack was really a character. I mean, I always thought he might have even been an actor because he could pull off these roles that were. You know, and especially when later in life when we talked a lot more and more intimately
about
stuff.
There's no better actor than you, though.
Well, no, there's a lot of better actors than me.
No, I don't think so. What do you think, TC?
Well, Rich is pretty good. But as far as Jack goes, was the wetsuit, like, as big a deal? Weren't you doing your own wetsuits and stuff?
No, I never did wetsuits. But when we started surfing, you could get wetsuits from Sears. Phantom, which was in Palo Alto, where you send up your measurements and they send you a box full of rubber, so everybody that got one always had one arm longer than the other.
Right.
And then Dive and Surf. They were doing a surf, and I think Jack's first deal was the Farmer John, the vest, and that kind of. And then Jack did a really good job of making a surfing suit. You know, he just specified for surfing. He didn't. Everybody else was doing diving and all these other activities, and Jack just narrowed it in and got that all in his scope and then pulled it off.
And marketed and did team and...
We'll be right back. Hang on a second. Yes, we have to go to commercial. Before we go to commercial, this portion of the show is brought to you by Santa Cruz Mountain Brewing Company on the west side of Santa Cruz. I texted Emily today, so she's the owner, to find out what's going on. But we're sure they have a lot going on for the new year, so go check them out. That's Santa Cruz Mountain Brewing Company right there on Swift Street on the west side of Santa Cruz. Neil TC with legendary guest co-host, Mr. Legendary Guest.
Most expensive.
Most expensive guest, Mr. Rich Novak. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Brad and Timmy.
And Cleo from Cleo's Corner at Pono Hawaiian Grill.
Featuring wraps, teriyaki bowls, plate lunches, amazing and creative salads, vegetarian and gluten-free options, and over 20 different types of poke, all made to order, fast, fresh, and healthy. And what's your favorite, Cleo?
the chicken fingers.
Located at 120 Union Street in downtown Santa Cruz. Call us for takeout at 831-426-PONO or check us out on the web at PonoHawaiianGrill.com. We put the ono in Pono.
Hey, this is Steve Pereira, the beach guy at Bailey Properties in Santa Cruz. My wife Diane and I have been selling beach homes in the Santa Cruz area since 1982. But what we're really selling is the lifestyle. This is what we call Pereira Dice. We'd love to have you here in Santa Cruz County. If you've been looking for a beach home or you want to sell your beach home, give us a call. We have the experience, knowledge, and we're fun to work with. Hey, check us out on lifesabeach.com, where you can check out updated listings at the beach. Thanks for your support. Give us a call. My wife, Diane, at 818-5939, and Steve at 818-7064. We're the beach people here in Santa Cruz. Give us a call. We know the beach.
Hey, this is Fig from Surf City Sandwich. We offer the finest craft sandwiches in the county with unique and creative flavor combinations sure to satisfy. Our motto, Go Fresh or Go Home, means we take the quality and consistency of our food very seriously. Fresh local bread and produce is delivered to us each day so you can be sure you are eating the best grinds in town, like our delicious tiki tuna or Vulcan mind melt. Try out our latest creations, The Claw, Chipotle Chicken Club, and Calabrian Meatball. We offer craft beer with 8 rotating taps, featuring some of the top local brewers in Santa Cruz. Located at the north end of 41st Avenue in the Soquel Tower Plaza. Call us for takeout at 346-6952. Check out our website for online ordering at surfcitysandwich.com and be stoked on sandwiches. Hey, this is Fig from Surf.
All right, TC, this is the Off-Net Radio Show right here on KSU AM 1080, FM 104.1, 107.9. You can watch live right now on Facebook with Santa Cruz Waves. TC, here's the lineup for shows coming up. You ready?
I'm ready.
Where is it? Here's my lineup. Next week, the Santa Cruz Board Riders Club.
Oh, that's good.
Got Flea, Rufo, and...
Yeah, they started a new club.
Shane Skelton.
Yeah, that's cool. Those guys, you
January
know,
January 9th, this show Rich should be here for. You ready? He's coming back. Santa Cruz District Supervisor John Leopold.
Yeah, we got to talk to him. I got some questions for him.
January 16th, Michelle Juneau.
Oh.
January 23rd, Dr. Wallace J. Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Mind.
The Blue Mind.
January 30th for our 250th show. The Expendables.
Wow. That always is the best show.
February 6th, The Mermen.
Wow. We've never had them on. That is a big band.
February 13th, Glenn DeWitt and Sarah Broom from Rainbow Fins, who this year, in 2018, will be celebrating the 50th year making Fins.
I saw them today.
They're all coming. That's our lineup.
Wow.
It's good.
Yeah. What's funny is... I was on a walk with my family today, and I saw Glenn. Hey, Glenn, what's up? And I'm like, that's the guy that started Rainbow Fins. It's pretty neat.
He can talk, too.
Well, you know what?
No, I have no problem him talking.
Those guys have...
No, you got to ask him. You don't want to ask him a short question with a long answer.
No.
Well, they've plugged along doing a cottage business. Mm-hmm. And
in the same location out
same
there.
Same deal. Yeah.
Monterey Bay Academy out there halfway in the middle of nowhere.
Never tried to be anything but what they are.
No, they make fins.
Yep.
And do a great job.
Yep.
Right?
I ride Rainbow exclusively.
Right. So what do you want to talk about now? You had something you want to follow up on?
No, I think if we're going to hit the Olympics of skateboarding.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Terry's touching on what's going to happen going into the Olympics and what's going to happen going out of the Olympics.
Would it stick, do you think? Yes, it'll stick.
You know, it's interesting. It's, I like my guys in the shop all think it's really dumb. And I looked at them all and I said, well, are you guys going to quit skateboarding?
Those kids thought it was dumb when my friend, the opera singer, sang.
And they cried.
And they all cried.
Right. Well, I asked them. Right? Okay.
They all cried.
I said to them, so skateboarding's the Olympics. Are you going to quit skateboarding? They all said no.
Of course not.
So just don't watch.
And guarantee they'll watch.
They
will be glued you know why? Because they're heroes to be skateboarding.
Well, it's also interesting because there's two categories in the Olympics for skateboarding. There is street, which is like the street league style, and there's skate park, which is like your typical skate park you see in towns across the country. And what's interesting is in the street division, everybody who's going to be representing the American team is a millionaire.
Hang on a second. Also, it's 2017, so 2020 is what, 3 years?
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
Those kids are going to be, what, 20 years old?
Doesn't
what,
matter.
They got the 15, 16 on the bench right now. They're going to work into that. You're going to get a lot of the older kids on the street style because they're actually the people that can perform in front of that kind of a crowd.
Right.
Right. And that's a classic. It's already been tried and proven that you can put in a arena where like the Warriors or a basketball team plays, you can build a skate park and fill it with people, and you can award $200,000 to the winner. Now, the other part of the skateboarding Olympics is the skate park aspect. These guys are like struggling to be endorsed.
About trying to make it exciting watching a skate park contest. I mean, they figured out the camera work for Tony Hawk in the X Games. That's what made the vert really, viewable.
Right.
You know, it's like surfing. Surfing's not viewable. It's really boring.
Right.
But you get your camera angles in there, and it makes it, like,
exciting.
Really exciting.
Right.
So can they make it that exciting in a park? You know, can they get their camera set up to do it?
I bet you they can.
Well, it'd be music,
sure,
light show.
You know, they have these cameras, these tiny little cameras. They can be in unbelievable spots to get great shots.
The interesting thing about it, too, three athletes go in each discipline. You know, it's not like it represents what skateboarding is in this country. It represents what three skateboarders do.
And there's definitely probably politics involved in those three guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sponsorship, endorsements, and judging. I mean, we talked about it. Like, they're judged by a panel on who gets in. Is that panel going to be perfectly honest?
You know what? It's like kids nowadays. They look at the phone. They turn something on. They look at it for less than 30 seconds. And that's what they want to see. It's got to be quick. It's got to be instant. It's got to be fast.
It seems very negatively perceived by the industry in this country.
Are they going to care who wins a gold medal?
Well, I don't think so.
Are they going to care?
I don't think the hardcore skater is going to care at all. But there's a bazillion kids out there that aren't skateboarders. That, you know, 99% of the people that watch the X Games don't skateboard. You know, so is there relative products to skateboard to push off of that thing? It's a money thing. It's what you can. It doesn't matter. I mean, we had the first Olympic gold medal in the half pipe, and we totally mismarketed it in the United States. Totally mismarketed. Missed a total mark on it. With the thinking that a lot of the skateboard people have now is this is really sucks. We're not going to participate. Blah blah blah. And we didn't do that. We stayed with what our beliefs were, and I think it really hurt us as a business.
Okay, the Bones Brigade, for example, right? The Bones Brigade,
yeah.
Those guys, right? Who would have won the gold? Who would have won the gold medal?
Christian Assoy.
Okay, but who was the one you had your eyes were glued to?
At what period? When the Bones Brigade was happening, or
yeah.
Oh, I would have gone for Olsen or Dwayne Peters or Tony Alva or the Bones Brigade were a bunch of wimpy little kids.
They'd love
I mean, I, you know, Stacy came to me before when he put the Bones Brigade together and tried to sell it to me, and I couldn't do that because of the riders I had. They were just totally the opposite.
You had rock stars.
Yeah, I had guys that were.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about your guys. Your guys? I mean, is there guys that would win the gold medal and guys that you want to see perform?
Well, if you're going to go after the Olympics, I mean, you go after the gold medal with the ammunition you have. So for the snowboard things, this is all we had, and it was a Swiss kid, and we got really good support from the Swiss government. We got good support from the whole Euro deal, where we couldn't get that kind of support over here because.
Right.
No matter how big we are, there was a lot of politics involved with who was going to go to the Olympics from this country, and they were pretty well self-chosen. So we just put our best ammunition on the table and went for it, and fortunately Lucio was kind of running the show over there, and he went for the gold medal, and he got it. So skateboarding is going to be the same way. If I can go to China and pick up two of the best skateboarders in China that have a chance for the gold medal, it doesn't matter to me. you know, that opens up the Chinese market. The bigger concern is what happens after the Olympics. What happens with the industry as a whole? Is it going to be this industry that we have now that's pretty much driven by skateboard companies? You know, in my wish of this thing, if you're going into, you're going to have skateboards in the Olympics, I'd want to go total technical on it. I want to develop a whole different composite skateboard to take the 7-ply out of the picture, make the 7-ply the Costco board. Because then you'd have that industry, you'd have an industry that advanced technology. Skateboarding has an advanced technology since we came out with the plies and the precision wheel and the stuff like that. It's just kind of laid stagnant. Any same with surfing. You know, they're still doing surfing's dealing in 60 technology and skating's dealing in 70 technology.
Right,
but,
still?
Yeah, but yeah. And just think though, if this thing can push technology.
Would you like to have your hand on the management of Mavericks?
No.
Not at all.
No, it's a joke.
No, I'm agreeing with that. I think what's interesting is that we know what the Olympics as far as skateboarding goes, not to beat this dead horse, but it like how America's skateboarding industry stands on it, because most skateboard industry is based in America. The world follows America's lead. But what's interesting is currently the Chinese Olympic skateboard team is training in Vista, California.
And they have
30 people here.
Right.
And they're spending a lot of money. And I wonder how it could affect these American brands in foreign lands, if their business will increase. And Richard, maybe you can step in on that.
But you're the owner of the skate shop. The brand's being affecting your business?
He's the end product.
Who?
Terry. I am.
Right. Yeah.
Terry is what, if we can make it work, and Terry's the guy that has he benefits at the end. He's the one that has to keep
What happens when your kids at your skate shop, let's say they are watching the Olympics, the bronze, the silver and gold go to, you know, to
right.
Chinese athletes. What are your kids in your store, what are they going to do? What are they going to buy?
I think what's going to happen is in order for them to win a gold medal in the Olympics, they're going to be pushing the envelope of technical skateboarding to the maximum.
Okay.
Because ultimately, the best skateboarders in the world should be represented in the Olympics. What they're going to try to do is emulate them.
Right.
They're going to go out and try to pick apart the trick that won them the gold medal, and every kid's going to be trying to replicate it.
Right.
I think.
You're listening to the...
One more thing.
Hang on a sec. Can you come back from break? Can I squeeze a break in? Off the Radio Show right here with KSCO. You can watch... live on Facebook with Santa Cruz Waves. This portion of the show is brought to you by People's Coffee right here on 17th and Bromer, the finest coffee in town, finest pastries in town. Curtis and the staff will take wicked care of you right there on 17th and Bromer. That is People's Coffee.
You know
right
that his niece says that's the best coffee in town.
It is. It's like this stuff is
I know. And Richard
jet fuel.
Hates that I said that.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.
They're paying the bill.
Attention surfers and paddleboarders. Don't let cold water or cold air take you out of the water for 5 to 6 weeks. Protect your ear canals with custom-made earplugs. The Listening Stack in Capitola is now offering custom earplugs molded to fit your ears perfectly, comfortably protecting your ear canals from the harsh elements of the Pacific Ocean. Stop messing with universal earplugs that don't work and try something that does. Mention Off the Lip Radio and receive an extra $20 off any custom-molded earplugs in our store. The Listening Stack is located at the corner of Capitola Avenue at 41st. Listening Stack. Protect. Enhance. Enjoy. 831-498-9890.
Thinking of a vacation in Santa Cruz? Then contact Beach Nest Vacation Rentals at 831-722-0888 to make your reservation. The very best local vacation management company with their staff will take care of the tiniest of details to better your memorable Monterey Bay holiday. They are pet friendly with a choice of homes on or close to the beach in Santa Cruz and the Central Coast. For further information, go to beachnest.com or follow them on Facebook.
Chill Out Cafe on 41st Avenue Santa Cruz is not just a block from some of the world's best surf, but it is also where you can go relax and order the tastiest grub before and after your sesh. Plump burritos, fresh salads, sky-high sandwiches, and a superb selection of hot and cold drinks. They have something for you. Go to chilloutcafesantacruz.com to view their menu. And to place your order to go, call 831-477-0543. Chill Out Cafe, where they roll the fatties.
And we're back with the Authentic Radio Show. I want to thank everyone for listening in this year. 2017 has been a TC. We've had,
had a great year.
Way too much fun doing this show.
Yeah, great year.
Way too much fun. And especially for those of you who thought this show would last like three or four shows.
Rosemary?
I don't know. Rosemary gave it. She thought maybe we had a chance. I don't know. But coming up, we got a 250th show with the Expendables. That's on January 30th, I think it is.
So are they having a show playing in town?
No, they're doing some worldwide tour. They go,
yeah.
And I call Ryan. I go, Ryan, it's our 250th show. Would you come on? He goes, yeah, we're there.
Wow. Those guys are awesome. I love those guys.
I'm trying to get Jason Jesse to come back, you know, Jason Jesse. Yeah. And I think, you know, if he'll come back with Rich.
And, you know? And maybe real quick we can just touch base with Jason Jesse with Rich. It's like, wow, has a second comeback for Jason Jesse right now?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Dressen and those guys are... But, you know, Jason, we did a pretty good deal with him on his reissues, and then we did a short-run reissue, limited edition. It sold out in like an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there was on eBay.
Did you know that? Did you know it was going to happen?
Yeah, I thought they should have made more boards. And then I shot...
How many did they make?
They only made...
300?
About, 500.
It was 500? Yeah.
Right. I think they should have made... If they had 500, they should have taken about 20 and had him personally sign them.
Right.
And then, you know, make it a draw, cover them up so they couldn't see them and make it a deal.
Special board that celebrated Jason's 30th anniversary of being on Santa Cruz
Skateboards.
That's
very, very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, you listen to the podcast, right,
yeah.
Of the show.
Yeah.
And I thank you for doing that. What's your favorite guest so far? Do you have a favorite guest other than yourself?
The ear doctor.
Your doctor, that's right.
Yeah.
Only because my ears suck.
He's awesome.
There's a couple guys. I know Stretch is kind of a real stretch.
Right.
You know.
Are we back?
We're back.
Anyway, to finish it up, I like the skaters.
Right.
And, you know, kind of one-on-one with the skaters or the surfers. And the reason
Roscoff, Caballero?
Caballero, Roscoff. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you get somebody in that can pull some of the stuff out of them, it's pretty good. Usually they're pretty, like, Cobb's pretty straight through with it.
Right.
Rob is pretty good with it. But, you know, getting Jason in here or Olsen in here
or
Tony Hawk in here or those guys, they all... They've been around the corner a lot. There's a lot of stories in those inside their pockets.
Most of the stories are under your hat, Rich.
There's quite a few there.
Yes, they are.
You know, there's one point I wanted to make on the Olympics and skateboarding is we have a guy named Kyle that pulled a 90-mile-an-hour run downhill.
Right.
Just think if you put something like that into the Olympics where it's like strictly the fastest guy down the hill.
That would be... That would be something to
watch. With the camera angles they could get off of it. We did it in Catalina in the 70s, and we had good camera angles, and it worked really well.
There's no cheating to that.
No, it's a winner.
It's not paying off judges. It's not how much money Nike's spending.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, same to you.
Killing
Rich,
us.
Happy New Year, buddy.
You wake me up, and now you kick me off.
That's right. Chris, you've done a great job this year for us, buddy. Really,
you got us back on, Chris.
We'll see you next. See you tomorrow. I'm going to see you guys tomorrow night with the Our Local Radio Show. Check out the Off-Lip Radio Show next week with the Santa Cruz Board Writers Club.
Woo!
Thank you for listening, everybody, and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we'll see you very, very soon. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
That a Russian opposition leader could face legal issues because he's called for a boycott of the presidential election in March. Russia's top election body has formally barred Alexei Navalny from running. Navalny urged his supporters to stay away from the vote in protest. His backers today fully nominated him as an independent. Looking ahead to the new year, President Trump is hopeful for a bipartisan health care plan.
One of President Trump's biggest disappointments in 2017 was the failure by congressional Republicans to repeal Obamacare. A bill passed the GOP-led House, but couldn't get through the GOP-controlled Senate. Now the president is predicting that Democrats and Republicans will eventually come together. On Twitter, he said he expects both parties to develop a great new health care plan.
That's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. A Christmas storm has dumped a record amount of snow on Erie, Pennsylvania, and surrounding areas, 34 inches, which is an all-time daily record. Meanwhile, Grant Forks, North Dakota Police Sergeant Kevin Callanan tells WDAY-TV, people need to bring their pets indoors with temperatures going below zero.
You can let them out for periods of time, but I would say keep them inside as much as possible when it gets this cold.
Callie Hill tells WLS-TV Chicago's bone-chilling temperatures proved to be too much for her and her daughters.
The girls wanted to go ice skating, and we tried, but it's really cold. It's freezing.
Wind chill advisories in effect for North Dakota, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, and Indiana. Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi says it's been an amazing ride on Wall Street this year.
Stock prices as measured by the S&P 500, as broad measure of stock prices, is up just about 20% for the year, which is, you know, about as good as it gets. The average growth in stock prices over the past 20 years has been about 5%, so a very good year.
Tuesday, the S&P 500 fell 3, the Dow slid 8, the NASDAQ was down 23. This is townhall.com.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Early numbers suggest this will be a green Christmas for retailers. Hazel Ginn, who is shopping in Macy's Herald Square in New York, says the longest checkout line she stood on only had four people, but she was strategic about it.
It's not too bad. Even we went up to the ninth floor, and we managed to get in a queue of about four deep, so not bad. Yeah, and then we went to another one, and it was only a couple, so we kind of timed it well, I think.
Macy's shopper Cheryl Smith says she's taking advantage of the after-Christmas sales this year for something for next Christmas.
We're from Florida, so we've got lots of Macy's Christmas ornaments for our tree next year. 50, 60, 70% off.
Deborah Margillis says she always takes advantage of after-Christmas sales.
It's very easy to spend a lot because the prices come down. But it's very nice to get clothing reduced, and it's a good time of the year to shop.
This is townhall.com. Some people don't like fruitcake, and for those who were delayed at a Washington State Ferry terminal, they probably like them even less.
It happened in Seattle. Someone left a wrapped package underneath the Christmas tree that was decorating a waiting area at the Seattle Ferry Terminal. That triggered a scare. Officials evacuated the terminal, and they kept all inbound ferries away for about a half an hour. The police bomb squad was called in to investigate. It turns out that package was a fruitcake. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Harley Davidson is placing a renewed emphasis on teaching people to ride as part of its efforts to attract more customers. The Milwaukee-based company's decision to expand the number of dealerships with a Harley Riding Academy comes as the industry grapples with years of declining sales and an aging customer base. The program launched in 2000 with about 50 locations. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.